Venice.
Fox Sports Knoxville is proud to present the show that the fans deserve.
I'd consider myself a realist, all right, but in philosophical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Happy Monday to you. As we come into the Fan Run Studios, John Reed, Cody McClure, Ben Lee. Cam's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. Get the podcast up if you have to miss a little bit of the show, if you're in your car for lunch right now. But you want to take us with you, you are going to have that option. You can also download the Fan Run app. You know all that. How are we this morning, afternoon, midday? Thumbs up from Ben Lee, Cody McClure.
Doing pretty well. Good to be here on a Monday. Good to be here on any day. How was your weekend?
Solid little weekend. No complaints. Nothing exciting. I got no stories.
Nothing special? Nothing crazy?
Nah, I went to the movies on Friday. Watched another movie at the house on Saturday. Did a little Father's Day stuff yesterday. Nothing crazy.
Yeah.
Just sat on the couch all day yesterday. Not all day. I went down to Sweetwater. Went to church.
Really?
Hung out with Pops for a little bit. Why do you say really like that? You think I'm like a degenerate? I go to church with Pops?
No. I just, church, I mean, that's a good thing.
Why did that catch you by surprise?
No, I don't know. I wasn't surprised necessarily.
You sounded surprised.
Whoa, church?
Yeah. I don't know that if that's, doesn't really say much about me, I guess.
It's good to go to church. Church does a lot for a lot of people.
Went to church, went back to the house, ate some lunch, hung out with the nephews. Pops fell asleep on the couch. I said, okay, time for me to leave.
That's a perfect Sunday.
Yeah. Left, went back home, watched a lot of golf. Watched a little HBO last night, read my book. And then here we are.
That's a pretty wholesome Sunday.
Yeah. Golf. Even squeezed in a little nap in between golf.
Yeah. I mean, church, Sunday lunch and nap. That's like the epitome of a Southern Sunday, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, pretty good. I mean, you could substitute golf for NASCAR, I guess, back in the day.
Yeah, one or the others. Depends on what the preferences are, but yeah, that's good. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Happy late Father's Day.
Yeah, they already got their day yesterday.
The day after, yeah.
They already got their day yesterday.
It's a good day. It's a good day. Father's Day's good. Well, that's good. Glad you had a wholesome weekend.
You're not going to ask me what movies I watched? Usually you ask me what movies I watched.
What movies did you watch over the
weekend? If you don't care, you don't care. I just figured you usually asked.
I didn't remember you saying anything about movies.
Said I went to the movies on Friday, then I watched a movie on Saturday. I told you that.
Oh, what movies did you watch?
Nah, forget it. Just think it's rude if someone tells you they went to the movies. You should probably ask at least a follow-up question. Pretend like you care.
Well, the last thing you talked about was Sunday, and I was thinking about Sunday.
Well, that was the last thing on my day.
Yeah, so Friday, Saturday, I kind of blocked it out accidentally.
That's fine.
What movies did you watch?
Just forget it.
I just want to know.
Maybe I'll tell you later.
Can you tell me one?
I went to the Downtown West Theater. I saw Dead Don't Die. Have you seen commercials for that? That's the Bill Murray movie, the zombie movie.
Dead Don't Die?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Adam Driver. I like Adam Driver a lot. You know who Adam Driver is?
I've heard the name, but I couldn't pick him out in the lineup.
I feel like he's got a really big role. I mean, I know he's got a really big role in like the new Star Wars movies, but is it Kylo Ren? Is that the bad guy's name?
Adam Driver.
I think
Driver.
He's
oh,
Kylo
yeah.
Ren.
I do know who that is.
I've always liked him. Ever since he first kind of came onto the scene.
Didn't he come in
HBO's
one of those?
Girls. He was on HBO's Girls. Then he was good in Black Klansman last year, a Spike Lee movie. He's solid. Anyways, him and Bill Murray, I was like, okay, I'll go see it. Movie wasn't very good, though.
Dead Don't Die. It's about zombies, and it had Bill Murray in it.
Bill Murray and, yeah, Adam Driver. I like both those guys. Donald Glover, Steve Buscemi. I was like, okay, it's got a nice little cast.
Yeah. Nice little lineup.
Yeah, nice little cast.
I would have assumed a zombie movie. It's probably not very good.
Bill Murray was in Zombieland. Zombieland's awesome. Zombieland's in my top 15 favorite movies of all time.
I thought that was Woody Harrelson.
I mean, Bill Murray's got a cameo. He's got a nice little extended 5-minute cameo. I mean, he's not a main character.
You say Zombieland's one of your favorite movies of all time?
Yeah, I love Zombieland.
Really?
Emma Stone, Woody Harrelson, what else you need?
Yeah.
I mean, Eisenberg's fun, too. And the little girl from, what was the movie called? Little Miss Sunshine? Little girl from that movie, too? That's got a nice cast, too. Can't wait for the sequel. Pumped. But yeah, Dead Don't Die wasn't very good.
Is the sequel this year?
Yeah, supposed to be. Which I'm looking forward to.
There's going to be a lot of good movies this year.
Well, they need some because the last 3 weekends at the box office haven't been good. I imagine that's going to start changing now with Toy Story 4 this weekend. But
oh, yeah. Yeah, the summer is always good for the movies.
So far, the last 3 weekends have been bad when it comes to the box office. They've ran out 3 sequels and had 3 clunkers. Godzilla was a clunker. Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie was a clunker. And the Men in Black International, big clunker. So they need, you know, they need Woody and Buzz to come and save them.
How many Godzillas are they going to have?
More.
Yeah. Is this Toy Story 4, is it going to have the same voiced characters and everything?
No, they're redoing everything.
I mean, I thought maybe they could have different voices on the animation.
Yeah, you know, Woody and Buzz, Tim Allen, Tom Hanks, you're out of here. Don't need you anymore.
I'm just wondering if they still want to do it.
I would imagine when they see that like $10, $15 million offer to come voice a movie, it's a pretty easy yes.
I don't think it's a crazy question. This especially is the fourth movie.
Especially if you're Tim Allen. Like, I mean, it's not like you're very busy. I mean, I guess Last Man Standing, they brought it back on CM. Did they bring Last Man Standing back? I feel like it got rebooted. Maybe on Fox, if I'm not mistaken. But, I mean, outside of that, it's not like they're making a Santa Claus 5 anytime soon. Or 4. I think they've only made 3. His schedule's open, is what I'm trying to say.
Well, Tom Hanks is a busy man.
Tom Hanks is a busy man, but Tom Hanks does enjoy being Woody. He does enjoy the money. And, I mean, it's an easy way. I mean, these movies are always so highly acclaimed.
It's the fourth one, though.
The third one was great.
Was it?
Yeah.
I feel like we've had enough.
The third one made me cry. I was bawling like a baby.
I wouldn't admit to that.
I have no shame.
You're right, it did reboot on Fox.
I thought so.
But I'm a little bit confused if it's really a reboot, if it went from 2011 to 2017 and then started back up in 2018.
I was going to say, it wasn't a reboot. It got canceled on ABC, and then everyone said that ABC was too liberal and that they're running off a good conservative show because Tim Allen is very openly conservative. So then Fox is like, wait, okay, fine. If everybody wants it so bad, we'll bring it back.
Okay, so it's kind of like what Netflix is doing with all their shows.
Basically, except Fox was like, yeah, we'll do this for Tim Allen.
Toy Story 3 came out in 2010. You know, I don't think I ever saw Toy Story 2 or 3. I think I just saw the first one.
I think that's the key with their sequels is that they let it breathe long enough.
I mean, how many are they going to do?
I mean, I don't know. This might be the last one, but I mean, it's been, what, you said 2010? It's been 9 years.
Yeah, it's been some time.
It's not like they're just pumping them out every 2 or 3 years like and you're getting sick of them. It's just, hey, we'll make you miss us, and then maybe we'll do it. Maybe we won't. Okay, boom, here it is, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Toy Story 2, yeah, that was 99. I don't think I ever even saw it.
I didn't like 2 when I was younger, but a lot of people say that's the best one.
It has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah. I didn't like 2 that much, but I was also at that weird age where I was a little too old for it, but not old enough to appreciate it. Kind of fell through the cracks on me. But 3 hit me in the feels. I imagine 4 will do the same.
Is it not weird to watch the Toy Story movies once you're an adult?
No, no. I mean, I might have to borrow my nephew. I should probably call him to see if he'll come with me.
You're not going to go to the theater alone for this one, are you?
As long as you're not like hitting a Saturday like noon matinee, like I think it's okay.
I'm actually.
This would probably be one that I don't want to go to by myself. Like I'm okay with going to the movies by myself, but. Probably won't go to this one by myself if that's what you're asking. But if, you know, my girlfriend's there, we could go.
I'm supposed to go to a wedding this weekend where, like, part of the wedding activities is we're going to see Toy Story 4, like, as a group.
Okay. I mean, yeah, again.
Really not sure how I feel about it.
Again, group a little bit different than if I just went solo, which I don't think I should do. It's okay. I mean, it's we're not going to be alone. There's going to be a lot of people our age that are wanting to see this movie. I mean, it's from our youth, Cody.
I recall. I enjoyed the first one a few times as a kid.
You don't even know if you enjoyed the second or third
one.
You didn't watch them.
I really didn't. I watched bits and pieces of the second one, and then I was just like, yeah, you know.
Okay.
So where can I watch the second and third Toy Stories? Will I have to go buy them on DVD? I'll just search it on my Roku. Roku is so great. You can just search anything, any title, any actor, anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll just come up and show you all the different places where it's at. You can rent it here. You can rent it here. It's included with this subscription.
Say that one more time.
On the Roku.
It'll tell you where. Okay, I was going to say, there are apps that'll tell you like where to go and find things. Although one time I used it and it told me to go to someplace and I still couldn't find it. So then I just gave up and felt stupid.
You can search like, any no actor or any film ever or TV show or whatever, documentary, and it just comes right up and it says, this is where you can watch this. Included with Netflix, included with Hulu, or rent from $2.99 here, you know. It's great.
Okay.
So I guess that's what I'll do.
Cool. Probably, you could probably judge me more by saying I'm probably not going to go see Toy Story 4 this weekend. I'll probably be going to see the new Chucky movie instead. Yeah, like that's... Seems, I'm more looking forward to that one.
It seems those have ran their course, too.
Well, you know, they did, and then they got awful, but then sneakily, like, they had a little bit of a resurgence on Netflix. Netflix put out two, you know, Chucky movies by themselves. The Cult of Chucky and The Curse of Chucky came first, then The Cult of Chucky came second, and both of those, really good. So then I got all excited, like, okay, I'm ready to see where the next one goes, and then, like, wait, reboot. Rebooting. I was like, no, I want to see the rest of the story. I mean, they're graded good on Rotten Tomatoes and stuff. People enjoy them. And then the people from that movie are really mad that they're rebooting this one because the people rebooting the ones that come out on Friday, they're like, yeah, we didn't talk to any of the original people. The original director and writer's mad. They're like, yeah, nope, we're going to do it ourselves. Aubrey Plaza, that's my girl. I'm ready to see her as the mom.
I wonder how many of those Chucky movies they're going to make. Why can't they just kill off this doll? He's not big.
He's a demon. You can't just kill a demon. They end up. I mean, spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. They find a way in every movie. He just comes back.
Well, when's he going to quit coming back?
Whenever he successfully. Well, I don't know if I should say spoiler alert again or not, but in like the ones on Netflix, he finally completes the thing he's been trying so hard, right? Like. Every movie he's trying so hard, like, hey, can I get into somebody else's body? Can I get out of this little doll's body and into a human? Spoiler alert, he does at the end of the last one on Netflix, which is why I was excited to see what happened after that. Because he all of a sudden had a body and was walking around. And then apparently they're just going to reboot and pretend that didn't happen.
He used to freak me out.
I know.
I liked him, though.
You want to go see that one with me on Friday?
I've got a lot going on Friday.
All right, we'll talk some sports next. Stick with us. This is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program. All right, Cody, what was the biggest story of the sports weekend? I mean, it feels like it was probably in the in the long term, definitely LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Gary Woodland. Though I mean, that was a pretty good U.S. Open performance. That was a record breaking U.S. Open performance. He had the lowest 4-day total, I want to say ever at Pebble Beach in the U.S. Open. He beat 2000 Tiger.
Good for Gary Woodland. But Anthony Davis stole the weekend. When you first asked me, I was like, oh, no, what happened over the weekend sports-wise? And then I was like, oh, yeah, Anthony Davis. That came at, what was that, late Saturday night?
I don't even think it was late Saturday. I think it was just
Saturday.
Saturday, like 4 or 5. I want to say it was like right smack dab in like your early afternoon.
I think I didn't get to it until late Saturday.
That checks out.
I was doing
I always
stuff.
Assume you're like 6 hours late to pretty much all the news anyway, so that checks out.
I used to be right on top of things. My life has changed. I was late Saturday.
I mean,
Saturday
you got it made here. You just do what you got to do, and I'll. You're like, I kind of like sports still, but not really. Like, I'll come in and we'll talk about Chucky and Toy Story, and then I'll make some jokes every now and then, and then we'll talk about football. I'll watch football.
Sports. I like the NBA and the NFL as much as I've ever liked them. I like sports. I was late getting to it Saturday night, but I saw Anthony Davis that the Pelicans had agreed to the trade. Woj came through. And it looked like the Lakers had to give up a lot.
The Lakers gave up a lot.
What was it? 3 first-round picks?
They gave up number 4 in this year's draft, which, I mean, mm-hmm. on lottery night, we pretty much knew, look, this is going to – lottery night kind of solidified that Anthony Davis was going to be a Laker as far as I was concerned. When you had the Lakers go all the way up to number 4 and you had the Pelicans get number 1, you're like, okay, this is going to make it much easier – for them to get rid of Anthony Davis because they already have Zion, right? They didn't have to get a star back because they already have one coming in.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that the Lakers can give them that number 4 pick, I mean, you can build a nice young core in New Orleans now.
And the fact the Lakers got all the way up to number 4, yeah, that's much more appealing than the number 12 pick in this year's draft where they should have been.
So the Pelicans get Lonzo, Brandon Ingram.
Josh Hart,
I don't know much about him.
He's a cheap player from Villanova. I mean, he's a guard. Oh, yeah. I mean, he's
Nova.
Fine. He's average. He can be a rotation player. He can be an eighth guy on a good team.
And you're going to have Zion, and you're going to have another. I mean, you're going to get the number 4 pick. I mean, they're going to have a nice young core in New Orleans.
A lot of people came out of this saying, man, New Orleans, I mean, that's about as good as you could do, especially when you compare it to – you know, the Spurs were in a very, very similar situation with Kawhi Leonard, right? I mean, Kawhi Leonard, for as old as we think he is, Kawhi Leonard's only 27. Right? He is only 27. Now, he's getting ready to turn 28 at the end of this month, but...
still a young man.
He's basically the same age as Anthony Davis was, you know, this time last year. And all the Spurs came out of it was with DeMar DeRozan. And Jakob Poeltl. I mean, like, however you feel about him. The Pelicans take Anthony Davis and, you know, end up with, I think Brandon Ingram's solid. I think he's a good young prospect. Now, Brandon Ingram's math is about to really change after this upcoming season because he'll no longer be on a rookie deal. He'll be a $25 million player a year. When you're paying him $25 million a year, it's a lot different than when he's, you know, $8 or $9 million a year. All of a sudden, the pressure and the pressure to perform is a little bit more. It's no longer as much potential as it is. Okay, now we need it. Lonzo, I like Lonzo. Lonzo's already one of the 5 or 6 best defensive guards in the NBA, as far as I'm concerned. And if you pair him next to Drew Holiday, who's also a top 5 or 6 guard defensively in the NBA, now all of a sudden the Pelicans have a really good backcourt when it comes to getting steals and leading fast breaks. And you're already picturing the idea of Lonzo throwing alley-oops to Zion Williamson. And New Orleans comes out of this, and you know they have a case for having one of the 5 best futures in the NBA. There aren't very many teams that wouldn't say, yeah, we'd rather be in New Orleans situation right now. There aren't many. I don't know how many, but there aren't many. Pretty much everyone, 85% of the league would look and say, yeah, you know what? What New Orleans has over there? Yeah, I'd much rather have that. And that's really saying something for the job David Griffin's done. He came in, he took a bleak situation of, man, we're getting ready to lose this superstar, and he maximized it to the fullest extent of what he got back from the Lakers. And a lot of people would ask, like, who exactly were the Lakers bidding against? Like, Boston's already been reported, like, nah, you weren't getting Jason Tatum. The Denver Nuggets apparently was like, nah, you can't have Jamal Murray. Maybe someone like Portland would have swooped in and offered CJ McCollum. I don't know. But some people look and say, man, the Lakers really outbid themselves. Look at this. The New Orleans Pelicans own the next 7 years of their draft picks. And what I mean by that is they have the option to either get the Lakers pick outright or switch with them if the Lakers pick is better than the Pelicans pick. And people look at that and say, this is a disaster. Just look at what happened to the Brooklyn Nets whenever they traded Kevin Garnett. And when they traded for Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce and gave Boston all those picks. Well, to me, the obvious difference is Anthony Davis ain't old-ass KG and Paul Pierce. To me, the floor is a lot higher in Los Angeles than it was in Brooklyn. If I'm a Lakers fan or a LeBron James fan, and those two aren't always mutually exclusive, if I'm a LeBron fan, I'm ecstatic. If I'm there just to root for LeBron James, try to be a NBA champion again, try to be in the NBA Finals again, Lord knows that everyone just said the NBA ratings needed that, right? So I think everyone across the league is pretty happy about this.
Yeah, and it looks like at this point, I think you got to call the Lakers the favorites.
Well, the Lakers have been listed as the favorites right now in Vegas, which isn't really saying much because I still want to wait to see how free agency plays out. But right now, like, they can't expose themselves because the Lakers are going to have two of the top seven players in the league. And if Anthony Davis is healthy and motivated, he's not number seven or six or five. He's somewhere in the top four. Last year this time, we kind of thought he might be number one. So if you're a LeBron James fan and you're somebody who's rooting for him to win, you're ecstatic about this because last year was a tough year for LeBron fans, right? Like, not missing the playoffs.
Yeah, it was a heartbreaking experience, really.
You have a finite number of years left with him as an elite player, and that's also what made the Lakers have to do what they had to do. They had to get Anthony Davis to try to maximize LeBron's last couple of years and to keep LeBron happy. And the Lakers made the mistake of not doing this for Paul George 2 years ago, and he stayed in Oklahoma City. Now, that year, they could have just given up Brandon Ingram or the number two pick, which was Lonzo Ball, and they said, nah, we're good. We'll sign you next year. And then Paul George got shipped to the Thunder and didn't come. So you couldn't risk that with Anthony Davis. And now, all of a sudden, the narrative of no one wants to play with LeBron James has kind of been flipped over, you know, flipped upside down. Now people are worried that another superstar is going to come. It was a big trade. I've seen some Lakers fans upset with it because you kind of, you know, we have a thing as sports fans where we always overrate our guys. Except here in Knoxville where sometimes we underrate our guys. I don't know if you need, we don't always overrate guys here. Just talk to anybody about Jarrett Garantano, right? I mean, you're going to have some people say he's the worst quarterback ever. But usually fans are looking and saying our guys are better than they actually are. So some of them are upset that they had to give up all three of Josh Hart, Ingram, and Lonzo. Some are saying that's too much. Some are saying the draft picks are too much. And if I'm the Lakers, I'm looking and saying, look, I'm not concerned about those draft picks, man. Like, if everything goes the way it's supposed to, those picks will be in the late 20s. Don't care about those in the late 20s. Don't care about those draft picks. We're good.
And they've still got Kuzma, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, what do you now? You make a run for like Kemba Walker, somebody like that.
Well, if you really want to get into the minutia of it, the Lakers are going to have to go back to the arguing floor with the Pelicans, and they're going to have to figure out something because the date that was put in the trade is going to complicate things. We'll keep talking about this next because I do think it is the biggest story of the weekend. We'll get to Gary Woodland's. Gary Woodland had a really, really good weekend. But that's pretty much the extent of my coverage outside of Brooks Koepka being a machine. We'll continue the conversation about, you know, the Pelicans, the Lakers, what this means for the rest of the sports world after the break. Stick with us.
And the Ad Council.
WKGN, the station where the Ice Bears used to play.
Back on the program. I don't know if this was planned, if the Lakers care, if Rob Pelinka's an idiot, or if the reporting is just too premature, but apparently, Cody, everyone is saying that this trade will take place July 6th, the first day possible for it to take place. You ask why that's a big deal?
June 11th. Wait, what? What are we doing? I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. My apologies. I've got a lot on my mind. The first trade. Can we just start over?
Today is June 17th.
I thought you said something about June 11th. I was typing out the number 10-11-1011. 11, you said some date, June 11th? I don't know. Let's try again. I'm sorry. That's on me.
That's big of you to take blame for that. I'm glad you didn't blame that one on me. Ben, hit the music. Let's just try again. Hit the music, Ben. Let's try again. Hey. I don't know if this was because Rob Pelinka just isn't very smart and experienced at dealing with salary caps and numbers and trades. If the Pelicans did this out of spite, if the Lakers don't care, or if this could just be bad reporting and the date is actually going to be later. But right now, Wojnarowski and others are reporting that this trade is going to take place on the very first day possible. They're going to push it through on July 6th. You ask why that's a big deal. Why is it a big deal? It's July 6th.
July 6th.
Yeah. Well, go ahead and ask, why is that a big deal?
Why is it a big deal for July 6th? Because it's 2 days after Independence Day?
Well, that is also a big deal. We love our troops. We love our freedom and our independence.
Yes, we do.
But this would also affect the salary cap for the Lakers because they do not get credit for the number four pick, which comes with a $9 million cap hold. If they waited until July 30th to make this trade, like have it agreed upon, whatever, everyone knows it's agreed upon, but just have it officially go through July 30th, the Lakers would have up to $32 million in salary cap. The difference between $32 million and $23 is how much?
$9
million. No, it's a difference between a max player and a bunch of role players. That's what the difference is. You say $9 million, I say Kyrie Irving or Kawhi Leonard.
Oh, really?
Or Kemba Walker.
Kawhi Leonard.
And the latest report was the Lakers are going to try to talk to Kawhi.
Oh, well, that. I mean, that's going to be just ridiculous.
Is that too unfair? You don't want that?
That's a super team. That's like Golden State level. You don't want that
one? Okay. You don't want that one?
No. I want LeBron to do it with Anthony Davis and then a guy who's not as good as Kawhi Leonard.
Okay.
Kemba Walker. That's where you go.
We'll take top 15 Kemba.
Yeah. You take him over Kawhi for sure.
Top 20 Kemba. Yeah.
No, I mean, if you can get Kawhi, obviously you do that. And then maybe you just win. I mean, how big of a window would you have then?
Well, I don't know. If you could lock Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard up for the next, 4 years, you'd be in pretty good shape. Yeah. It feels like it would be at least two titles.
So you're telling me then LeBron gets to, what would that be, seven?
But the issue is the Lakers have dropped the ball on the negotiation here.
They already dropped the ball to New Orleans.
They shipped the ball off, yeah, both of them.
Now they've dropped another ball?
LeVar and Lonzo got both of them headed to New Orleans.
Thank God.
Both balls are gone.
You know what? That set of balls sent to New Orleans. You know what LeVar being in New Orleans means? That we won't have to hear from him.
No, this is not correct at all. LeVar's back, baby.
Well, I know we heard about it from him this weekend. I'm saying as
no, time, LeVar's on TV this morning trying to have sex with the girl from First Take.
What?
Play the audio, Ben.
Molly, go ahead, LeVar, before I get back to him.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Let's stay focused here.
All right. Did you hear him?
No, what did he say? What did he say?
This is a bad segment for you. You couldn't listen? We're playing it
over
loud.
Go ahead.
You don't have your headphones on.
Before I get back to him.
LeVar, can I switch gears with you? Because I have a question here.
You can switch gears with me anytime.
Let's stay focused here.
All right. Stephen A. is like, boy.
You think Stephen A. hates him?
They're sitting right next to each other in L.A., so no, Stephen A. probably loves him. They probably missed LeVar. They couldn't track him down soon enough.
Imagine those two going at it verbally. I'm just thinking eventually we'll quit hearing from him.
He's back now.
I mean, you put him in New Orleans, he's going to fade out.
Yeah, I thought that this was over. I thought Lonzo had pretty much said, hey, Dad, knock it off. Your business manager stole all my money. Or not all of it, but a lot of it. LeVar was still on TV rocking the Big Baller Brand shirts. Lonzo got his Big Baller Brand tattoo covered up. Like, Lonzo wants to move away from his dad and this, you know, affiliation business-wise. And yet, ESPN ran him up right there on TV on Monday, and we already have LeVar trying to have sex with Molly. She asked if he could switch gears. He said, you could switch gears with me anytime. Always down to switch gears with you, Molly. And her face is like, oh, my God.
When do we bring this guy on television?
Out of all the people who comes on this that want to have sex with me, LeVar Ball is dead last on who I would actually take up on the offer.
You think so?
I would say so.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, maybe Brian Windhorst is on the show every now and then. Maybe she ranks LeVar ahead of Brian Windhorst. I don't know. Maybe not.
She probably just feels bad for Winded Horse.
So, no, I don't know if LeVar's going away. But like I said, the Lakers have dropped the Ball family, and they dropped the ball in terms of negotiations, at least according to the initial report saying that this trade will go through on July 6th, which will cost them $9 million in salary cap, although the reporting on this has been pretty shoddy. Because Wojnarowski is like, well, we think it's like this right now, but it could change. And maybe that equals that the Lakers have to give a bunch of second-round picks to the Pelicans to make this go through at the end of the month. Apparently, the Pelicans want to have the number 4 pick, if they use it, play in Summer League. Maybe they're just posturing even more to try to get more from the Lakers. Maybe it's a big middle finger to the Lakers for, you know, stealing Anthony Davis. I don't know, but as of right now, the Lakers are not going to have the salary cap necessary to go out and sign a third star. They might have to get down with the Patrick Beverleys of the world.
That seems more like more up LeBron's alley anyway. Do it with some guys that aren't, you know, superstars. I don't know. It's a little more special.
Everywhere he's always tried to have a third star, man.
But, I mean, a third superstar. I mean, not like Kawhi level, right?
He had
D-Wade, he had Kawhi, or he had
Chris Bosh,
Kyrie. But Chris Bosh is not – he wasn't as good as Kawhi.
Not as good as Kawhi, but he's a lot better than Patrick Beverley. Like, I mean, Chris Bosh was an all-star and got a max contract, same as Kevin Love. Like, those guys were really, really, really good. They were considered third stars.
So you think he needs somebody, a third piece that's good enough to be – like a number 2 on an average team?
I don't know. I don't know what he needs. I keep going back and forth on it because – on one hand, I feel like you always take the best player possible. Like Anthony Davis and LeBron, okay, if you give me, obviously, a Kawhi changes the conversation. If you give me a Kemba Walker, I don't know how excited that makes me for the long-term future. But usually you just try to take the best players possible and you could find guys to fill them out. But we just saw the Raptors run through the East with Kawhi Leonard, a decent second star, and Kyle Lowry, and then a bunch of role guys that just fit, right? Like, what do we keep saying about the Raptors in that series? They just got 7 guys who can ball.
Mm-hmm.
They just got
only
7.
One superstar.
They just got 7 guys who know how to shoot and play defense.
So, really, maybe you don't need a third star. Maybe you can do it, especially with Golden State breaking up, right? I mean, you can probably do it with 2 stars, and then the right supporting cast.
Well, we don't know if Golden State's breaking up. We don't know if Kevin Durant – I mean, they're going to be gone next year, which is going to open it up next year. But 2 years from now, the Golden State Warriors could just be back with their, you know, with their big 4 of Steph, Draymond, Klay, and Durant. Like, all 4 of those guys could be back 2 years from now.
That would be weird if they came back with all those guys.
I mean, it's possible. They're offering both Durant and Klay 5-year contracts to keep them, so – it's possible they just take this year off, get a big draft pick, and then come back the year after. I go back and forth on what the Lakers should do with that money. Should they try to get a third star? Obviously, if it's Kawhi, you say yes. But outside of that, like, do you want Kyrie Irving, or would you rather have a good, you know, 4th and 5th player and a good 2 bench players? Or at least 1 good bench player that you can count on? Because, you know, in the NBA, they'll be able to get buyout guys near the deadline that add good pieces. But, I mean, you need some depth because this is the bad part of the gamble. is what you're gambling on. And if you are building your team around LeBron James and Anthony Davis, LeBron James is turning 35 in December. Anthony Davis hasn't necessarily had the best injury history, right? He's always banged up. You're going to need them to play 75 games. You're going to need some bench players that can, you know, hold the fort down so that you don't run a 35-year-old entering his, what, 16th season? 17th season? So you don't run him into the ground, so that you don't run Anthony Davis, who has a, you know, a questionable injury history. You can't run him into the ground. The problem is, man, I don't know if I trust the Lakers front office to fill out this roster. That's what's going to be interesting to watch. Last year was a disaster.
They didn't do a good job last year.
Last year was a disaster when it came to filling out that team. Maybe they'd do better this year. I mean, they couldn't do worse.
You'd think they've probably learned from the mistakes.
Maybe. You can blame it all on Magic Johnson. He's gone, but Rob Pelinka's still there. And so far, Rob got Anthony Davis, but according to the early reports about the trade date, he didn't fight hard enough to save that extra $9 million in salary cap space, which they're going to need. But the Lakers are going to be back at the top of the NBA next year. LeBron James is going to be there. I don't know if I'm ready to call them the favorite yet, but there you are. They're doing what they had to do. They had to go out and get a superstar to pair with LeBron, and they went out and did it.
It should help the ratings, but, I mean, how much will it help the ratings that they're on the West Coast?
Yeah, I don't know. Adam Silver's talked in the past about trying to push up all those West Coast times to 9:30.
I mean, because the two most intriguing teams are on the West Coast. Still.
Especially if Kawhi goes West.
Oh, yeah.
Like if Kawhi goes to the Clippers.
Then you don't really have anything interesting unless...
I mean, you still got the Sixers. You still got the Bucks. And
yeah.
There are some moves that the Celtics can make to try to salvage this. You got the Hawks getting ready to blow up and be a good team. But, I mean, it is fair. Like, Adam Silver, like I said, has already talked about, maybe we should move up these West Coast times. Maybe we should go to 8 or to 9 o'clock or 9:30.
Think it would be a good idea.
Might have to force their hands if everyone's in the West Coast. It's something to keep an eye on. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Dice is on the beat.
Overall, do you think this was good for the NBA? Like, is there a case for this to be bad? Because, I mean, you do have the potential for a third super team, or a new super team, I guess is how I should phrase that. There is a chance for a new super team.
I think it's okay to have super teams as long as there's two. Although it would be better to have one in the East and one in the West. I mean, to me, as long as you don't know for sure, like, who's going to win it. And granted, this year we didn't, although everyone thought they did with the Warriors. But as long as you have teams that can compete against the super teams, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we sat here last week saying, man, this is going to be all wide open, right? Like, this is who's going to win? What's going to happen? Who's even the favorite? Some people feel now that, oh, well, the Lakers are going to have, you know, LeBron James and Anthony Davis. They're just going to cruise to a title. I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think so, because they got – I mean, you're talking about the depth. They got to fill out the depth first. I mean, LeBron and Anthony Davis are great, but they need more pieces.
Now, don't get me wrong, if they, you know, competently fill out this roster and Kawhi doesn't go somewhere with another star, then I do think the Lakers are going to be the favorite. But, I think overall that's even still a huge net positive.
You mean just for this upcoming season alone or after Golden State?
Just everything. Yeah, just everything.
I think it's good for the league for the Lakers and LeBron to be good.
2 years from now, though, if the Lakers and Warriors are both great, is that who's the good guys in that scenario? Like, are the Lakers the good guys? That feels icky to say because most people hate the Lakers, but we've hated the Warriors for a long time. Like, if it's Anthony Davis, LeBron, and Kyrie versus Durant, Clay, and Steph, and Draymond,
sometimes you don't have good guys. Sometimes you've just got the German forces marching north into Russia.
Or Freddy versus Jason.
Right. Both good examples, I think.
Although Jason, I think, eventually realized Freddy was a little bit worse. You know, Freddy was trying to really mess things up, and Jason realized he was being kind of manipulated, and then they had beef after that.
And Russia at the time was part of the Allied forces, but they weren't really an ally.
You would have thought Kelly Rowland would have been a bigger movie star after that. I mean, you know, she had the Destiny's Child background. She got it in Freddy vs. Jason, and that was pretty much it for her.
I love the ending of Freddy vs. Jason. Spoiler alert. When Freddy gets tossed into that lake and he just winks at you and the movie's over.
Yeah, I thought they were going to make a sequel to that, but I guess
I did too.
I guess they never did.
It always seemed like they would because Freddy winks at you, you know.
I guess they realized the first one wasn't good enough to warrant a sequel.
I really like the movie. It's one of the few horror movies I ever watched.
Okay.
I really like the Freddy Krueger stuff.
It is a scary premise, though, right? Like, out of all of them, is that the scariest premise for scary movies?
To get those two battling each
other? No. I just mean Freddy. Like, somebody who gets you when you're asleep. I mean.
Oh, yeah, he gets you in your dreams because you can't not sleep.
Right.
Like, it's impossible to avoid.
That is probably the scariest premise, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Psycho just following you around with a knife. I mean, that's scary, too, but. At least you can do something about that. You could stop the psycho.
Yeah, like Halloween, Michael Myers moves so slow.
He's not that slow.
Yeah, but he's not in your dreams.
He's not in your dreams. That is true.
You could just take a flight to a different city and get away from Michael Myers.
From what I saw in the new Halloween reboot, it's very hard to get away from Michael Myers.
That's true. Ben has watched 75% of that movie.
Why not just jump on a plane? Do any of these people ever think about that? Just leave that town.
That is always something weird. Like, why not leave? There's always something always keeping them in the town, though. They either got kids or usually the premise is we've spent all our money on this new house.
Yeah.
We've moved here. We've spent all our money. We don't have any money anymore because we bought this house that's too big for us. But it's such a good deal. It's way more house than we need, but we couldn't pass up this opportunity because he's a writer, she's a teacher, something like that. The dad died or something. The mom needs money. There's always something keeping them there. You would think, though, they could just leave.
Yeah.
Scrounge up enough for two plane tickets and just, we'll come back later and check to see if everything's okay. We'll have the neighbors keep an eye on the house. But if I see anything in the news about neighbors dying, I'm not coming back.
I thought that was more of like a haunted house thing. Like, they typically get a new house, but like, it needs like some renovating or something.
Oh, yeah.
So they open up a new, like, they accidentally opened up this door to the basement.
But I'm not just talking about horror movie tropes, like, because I would always be like, well, why don't you just leave the scary house?
Yeah, it's like,
and you're like, well, we just spent all our money on this house, and
we can't afford a new home.
Yeah,
listen, honey, this may affect our credit poorly, but there's a man with a hockey mask and a machete outside the window every night.
Little girls running up in the attic.
There's a little girl with black eyeballs. Just staring at me every time I go to change out the light bulbs. I think maybe we should get out of here.
You can never leave, though. Like, you just spent all your money buying the house. Like, your nest egg's gone. Like, that is your nest egg.
You can check out any time you like, but you can never leave.
It is scary, though. Someone gets you when you're asleep.
You can never not dream. I think you're right. I think that makes Freddy the most dangerous one, because it's impossible not to sleep. You'd just have to be addicted to like crystal meth. You'd have a speed habit trying to stay awake all the time.
And then you got other problems in your life. And
yeah.
Either way, Freddy's got you.
Yeah. Just try to stay awake as much as you can, I guess.
I don't know. I feel like maybe the demons getting inside of you, like the exorcism movies. I feel like that one might be worse. That's worse than like not being able to sleep, right? It's just like the demon gets inside of you.
The original Exorcist is pretty terrifying.
The only like horror, like I guess sequel movies that I've seen are all the Annabelle ones.
Those are the only scary movies you've seen, is that what you said?
Not only, but like it's the only ones that like I've kept up with all the sequels, if that makes sense.
I've seen
There's only been one sequel so far, hasn't there?
There's been like two or three.
Annabelle's coming out.
I've seen
soon,
three
right?
movies.
Are you counting The Conjuring?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I'm pretty sure it's just an Annabelle, then an Annabelle creation, then there's a new one coming out now.
Yeah, and then The Conjuring is the other one I was counting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Annabelle.
Yeah, there was a prequel, but I'm thinking there's only been one prequel so far. So if you're counting The Conjuring, sure. You know, that's another one of those movie universes we talk about, you know, of Marvel. Like, they're doing their whole thing, and The Conjuring, very scary.
So having a demon-possessed doll like Chucky or Annabelle, those freak me out.
That one's always weird because they say that one's a true story.
What, Annabelle?
Yeah.
That's not true. They just say it's a true story to make you think it, like...
No, it's based on true events.
No, come on.
I mean, there's been things that people think are possessed by demons.
People think these things, but they're not really true. Like, it's like someone with schizophrenia or something, you know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
There's always stuff out there that you can't explain, man.
You can explain it. It's not like real. It's not real. It's not 100% real.
How do you know if you've never experienced it?
Because it's just
can you please
it's made up for the movies.
Please invite this into your new home with Rick and Brandon and not into the studio. Since you're wanting to challenge the demons out there.
Yes, I will challenge
the
demons.
No, not here.
In the house with Rick.
Please, demons.
We don't
please.
Need that.
Cut
here.
His mic off, Ben.
Come on
I
in.
Need, I need you to do that. That's for the new home, although they all three work here, so I'm sure we'll get some strays.
Everyone knows they can't leave what they're bound to.
Okay, we need them to be bound to the new apartment.
Yeah.
I bound them to here. Fan Run Studios.
Stop, bro.
Is my mic on?
Stop.
Bound them to here.
Stop.
Demons, come get us.
No.
Come on,
what
Annabelle.
What is happening here?
Come on, you creepy little bitch. The power
crazy. Yeah. The somebody get some holy water.
I'm not worried. That's right. That's
I'm
what
a little
we got.
Worried.
We have the Lord on our side.
I'm a little worried.
What could we worry about?
If you believe in the Lord, you got to believe in the demons. You don't just get the good without the bad. You got to take the bad, too. That's kind of how that works.
Well, then we'll fight them with the good.
I'm not touching this one.
Whoa.
Well, now that we're all going to be possessed, that's good. I don't know why we're talking scary movies so much on June 17th.
I don't know. It's June 17th. What else are we going to talk about?
There's probably a good portion of people are like, good, no more NBA talk. Now they can talk demons and Freddy.
And Gary Oldham went in the U.S. Open. Or Gary, whoever the hell he is. Woodland Oldham. Who's Gary Oldham?
Isn't that the Commissioner Gordon in The Dark Knight?
Isn't that also an exit off 275? Woodland and Oldham, aren't those the two streets there you exit off of? Maybe that's what confused me.
There's Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman. He was in
that's
Dunkirk.
The guy I was talking about. That's yeah,
not Dunkirk.
Yeah, I mean, he's
Darkest Hour. He played Churchill.
Yeah, he's also the Commissioner Gordon in The Dark Knight. I mean, he's the
in Darkest Hour.
Yeah, The Dark Knight, better than The Darkest Hour, but either way.
Yeah, but Winston Churchill's better than the character he played in The Dark Knight.
Some would say he was the real hero of Gotham.
He was also Sirius Black in Harry Potter.
He's been in some good movies.
Some good roles.
Yeah.
Very, very acclaimed, as they say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hour one in the books, hour two on deck.